for worship today.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois, for this very special Christmas Eve worship. We are so glad that you are here with us, whether you're here in person or watching at home. What a blessing it is to be able to gather together as God's people and celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the light that has entered into the darkness of this world. You know, there are so many great things that we have to look forward to in heaven because that baby was born in Bethlehem for us. So what a blessing it is to be able to celebrate that tonight. And I hope you brought your singing voices because this is going to be a special service, a festival of lessons and carols. So the plan tonight is to actually hear 9 different scripture readings, which will help us understand the benefits and the blessings that come to us because of Christmas. And interspersed in between all of those is going to be a lot of music, a lot of Christmas carols that we get to sing together, and there's going to be some special music interspersed in there as well. So it's going to be a wonderful worship service. We are so glad that you are here with us tonight. And so we will begin, as we always do, with our invocation, and I'll invite you to please stand. In the name of the Father, Creator of light. In the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. In the name of the Holy Spirit, who brings the light of Christ into our hearts. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence. And in that last day, wake to the brightness of his glory through your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we hear our first musical offering, Mary, Did You Know? Our first lesson is from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 8 through 19, where God tells sinful Adam and Eve that they have lost the gift of paradise, but promises that the woman's offspring will one day bruise the serpent's head. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We sing our next carol, "O Sing of Christ."
Thank you.
The second lesson is Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. After testing Abraham's faith, God promises that through his offspring, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father!" And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham!" And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next carol is "On Christmas Night, All Christians Sing."
Thank you.
Our third lesson is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The prophet Isaiah foretells the coming of the Savior, who will bring light to the darkness of our world. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next carol is Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. Our fourth lesson is from St. John's first letter, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. John reminds us that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God's love for us. Beloved, let us love one another, For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next carol is Of the Father's Love Begotten. Please stand. Grace, mercy, peace, and Christmas joy be unto you from God our Father and our newborn Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our Christmas Eve sermon is the reading that we just heard, the fourth lesson, 1 John chapter 4. John talks a lot in this passage about love, and we specifically think about how on Christmas, that's when the love of God was made known, made manifest to us by the fact that Jesus was born into this world. And certainly, we are thankful for that love which has come down not just to us, but to the entire world to bring light into our darkness. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so, did you get yours in the mail? You know, that one Christmas card that you get almost every year, and every time you look at it, it just kind of frustrates you a little bit, maybe from that family that you're not even all that close to, but they send you a card every single year, and it seems like the only reason they're sending it to you is so that they can brag about how awesome their life is. You know, you can probably picture it. It's the one that comes from your coworker or from your old college roommate or maybe like a really distant cousin who lives far away and you hardly ever talk, but you always get that card and the photo looks like professionally done, right? It's always mom and dad and the kids and maybe the dog and everybody is looking perfect. Everyone's got the perfect color-coordinated outfit on, perfect smiles. They're standing in front of their big, beautiful house that they can afford because of their amazing, successful careers and the fact that they have an exorbitant salary to go along with it, right? And maybe, if you're really, really lucky, then you also get an update letter to go along with it, right? And they tell you all about how their kids got straight A's again and how they got to go on 12 different vacations last year. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, right? We've all gotten cards like that before. And because we are full of sin, and because we're sort of obsessed with ourselves all the time, it's not easy for us to just kind of brush it off and not worry about it, or maybe even do something better and actually feel happy for these folks. But instead, we start to play the comparison game when we get a card like that. We wonder, why isn't my life like that? Why don't I have the things that they have? I can't even get my kids to smile for our Christmas photo. What's wrong with me? Some of you might have noticed this, that a few days ago, my lovely bride, Katie, had posted on her personal blog about our Wallenberg family 2020 Christmas card and how it turned out, well, basically the same way all of our years have turned out. It turned out imperfect and blurry, like not just a little blurry, like really blurry, and I know you can't see it from here, but here it is, and it's blurry. And you'll have a chance to see it up close later tonight because we actually have a stack of our cards in the back. We want all of your families to take one as you go out today, and I'll remind you at the end of the service too. But I don't know what happened. You know, it was something either we did or something with the company that we used to make our Christmas card, but they just turned out blurry. They turned out fuzzy. They turned out just not so great. But just like Katie wrote in her blog post, you know, when you compare that and you put it in the perspective with all of the other bad things that have taken place in the year 2020, and you think about how a lot of other families have had a lot worse things happen to them than what we're dealing with a Christmas card. Well, it's really, in the end, not that big of a deal, right? But it does just take away a little bit from what could have been the perfect Christmas or the perfect Christmas card, right? And maybe there's something like that for you, too. Right, so maybe it's not Christmas cards for you this year, but maybe it's something else. Maybe it's the fact that, I don't know, that COVID has made it impossible for your family to gather together at least the way that you're used to each year. Or maybe you found the perfect gift, but two-day shipping has turned into 20-day shipping, and it's just not going to get there on time, right? That's one of the things that's happening to a lot of people this year. Maybe for you, this is the first year or just another year where there's an empty chair at the table that used to be occupied by somebody that you love, somebody who is in heaven right now. I'm just assuming that all of us are not having the perfect Christmas this year for a whole host of different kinds of reasons. So I think it's tempting then for us here on Christmas Eve to compare the Christmas that we're having this year and then compare that to the very first Christmas when Jesus was born and to sort of idealize that first Christmas in our heads, right? And the perfection of that night and say, why can't our Christmas this year kind of be like that Christmas was? So at this point, we're about halfway through this Lessons and Carols service. And starting with the next lesson, with lesson 5, we're going to hear the exact details of what was going on when Jesus was born. And we're going to sing, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." And we're going to sing "Silent Night," right? And we're going to have that image in our heads, that perfect night, the angels and the shepherds, and of course the baby in the manger, sleeping in heavenly peace, right? And it's like the perfect Christmas card. But when we really look at things, when we really look at the details, maybe we realize that things are a little bit blurrier even on that very first Christmas. I'm not trying to burst anybody's bubble, especially on Christmas Eve, but when we take a look at the things that Matthew and Luke share with us about that very first Christmas when Jesus was born, we realize that it wasn't exactly that perfect Christmas card image that we have in our head. And it starts really in the days and the weeks and the months leading up to the birth of Christ. You know, the sin that everybody assumed was taking place when Mary comes back from visiting her relative Elizabeth, and all of a sudden it's very obvious to everybody that she's pregnant. And I mean, if you think word travels fast here in Hoyleton, scholars believe that there were about 400 people living in Nazareth in those days. So you got to believe everybody was talking. There would have been this sense of shame upon Mary and Joseph in those days leading up to the birth. And then, after the child is born, who is it that gets to tell this good news of the birth of the Messiah to everybody who will listen? It's the shepherds! The shepherds of all people. Shepherds were not exactly considered to be reliable sources of information. Shepherds were kind of lowly, backwards kind of people, right? And yet God uses these shepherds to go and tell the news. If they had Christmas cards back then, believe me, nobody would put a shepherd in the picture. And it gets worse because we also know about the jealous and murderous King Herod, who is so threatened by the rumor of the birth of a newborn king that he ends up slaughtering all these innocent babies in Bethlehem because of it, right? Really dark, really, really sad stuff. So I guess my point is, when we think about that very first Christmas, when we think about all of those kinds of details surrounding the first Christmas, there are just things about it that were not picture perfect, right? Not perfect, certainly from an earthly perspective. So then what is it that makes the birth of Jesus Christ perfect? Well, I think that reading that we just heard from 1 John chapter 4 does help us kind of consider this, the perfection of Christmas, a little bit. This reading from 1 John chapter 4, this is actually the only epistle, the only letter that is normally assigned for Christmas Eve, believe it or not. It's kind of interesting. You wouldn't really expect that necessarily because this reading doesn't really scream Christmas necessarily. I mean, it talks about God sending his son into the world, but mostly what it talks about is love. And so you have to kind of read between the lines to get to the Christmas message here. Now, it does, however, speak to the question of what makes up the perfect Christmas. And it's probably no surprise to you that it has absolutely nothing to do with all of those external things that you would probably put in your family Christmas letter, your update letter that you send to everybody on your list. But actually, here in verse 12, John simply says, "If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So it's not the outward perfection that we try to project to our family and friends. It's not the perfect smiles and the perfect outfits. It's not that perfect image that we wish that our life was like. But it's the perfection that's happening internally. It's a spiritual perfection. And yes, it does bear itself out in love for our neighbor. John does talk about that. And that certainly is an outward thing. But it all starts with what God is first doing inside. And then that love for one another kind of flows out from that. And where does this all come from? We got to back up a couple verses here to verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So, in other words, no matter how many things weren't ideal or picture perfect, even in that very first Christmas, what made it perfect was what was in that manger, was who was in that manger, right? Because that's God's perfect love come down from heaven. That Jesus Christ, born to be our Savior, born to bring God's people back into a right relationship with him. That's what we mean when we say God and sinners reconciled. Because in order to be reconciled with a perfect God, we have to be made perfect. We have to be transformed so that we are perfect ourselves. And the only way for that to happen is to consider not just the manger, but already at the very beginning of Jesus' earthly life, we're also considering the cross. Because we know why that baby was born. We know he was born to pay for our sins. We know he was born to be the Savior of the world. And that's why John says in verse 14, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus is the one who makes Christmas perfect. And he does it not just because he's perfect himself, but actually because he takes that perfection and he gives it to us. He gives it to all those who believe in him. Jesus willingly stepped into the muck and mire of this world, and he willingly took on all of the imperfect things that bother us day to day. He experienced them all. He saw everything that this broken creation has to offer. And so if you're feeling frustrated or sad or lonely or depressed this Christmas or at any other time, you can know for sure that Jesus knows exactly what you're going through because he experienced it all too and then some. And if you are feeling kind of jealous because it seems like 2020 has hit you and your family harder than maybe a bunch of other people that you know, and if you're feeling like your Christmas card this year is maybe a little bit blurrier than it has been in years past, well, you can rest assured that when God looks at you, when God sees you, he doesn't see what other people see. He doesn't look at you the same way that the rest of the world looks at you. When God looks upon you, what he sees is the perfection that Jesus Christ has placed upon you. He looks at you through the lens of what Jesus has done for you as your Savior. He doesn't hold your sins and imperfections against you. He doesn't compare you to other people, and he doesn't leave you alone to face all of your problems by yourself. But you can encounter that perfect love of Christ right here on earth. That's what Christmas is really all about. Now, for us, it's not going to be running to a manger in Bethlehem is where we're going to find Jesus. For us, we find Jesus, we encounter Jesus where he's already promised to be found. First and foremost, in his word, right? Because Jesus is the word made flesh, and we find Jesus on every single page of Scripture. And Jesus uses this amazing good news to refresh us every single day. We encounter Jesus at the baptismal font, and Jesus takes this internal reality for us. He makes us perfect from the inside out in that moment of baptism. He makes a promise to us that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. And we encounter Jesus at his altar when he gives us the body and blood. And we experience this foretaste of the heavenly perfect feast that we will all one day experience. If you are looking for the perfect Christmas, you don't have to look any further than to those means of grace, than to our Savior. Because it's right here. It's in him. And thanks be to God, it's for you. So Merry Christmas, and thanks be to God. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we will now continue as we hear the duet, "Were You There on That Christmas Night?" Our fifth lesson is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The angel Gabriel greets the Virgin Mary and announces to her that she will bear and deliver the Son of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next carol is What Child Is This? The sixth lesson is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem, where the Christ is born and laid in a manger. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The next solo is Infant Holy, Infant Lowly.
Infant holy, flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping vigil till the morning new. Saw the glory, heard the story, tidings of a gospel true. Thus rejoicing, free from sorrow, praises voicing, breathe the
The seventh lesson continues in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. The angels announce the good news to the shepherds who run to the manger to see the Christ child. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next carol is "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear."
Thank you.
The eighth lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The Magi come from the east to worship the King of the Jews. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next carol is "We Three Kings of Orient Are."
Thank you.
Our ninth and final lesson this evening is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, where John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next solo is O Holy Night.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder morn, fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was to be our friend. all is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Then ever, ever praise we his power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore.
Please stand. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, so we may with sure confidence behold him, when he shall come to be our judge, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Before we sing our closing hymn, I just wanted to say once again from myself and from my family and from all of us here at Trinity Lutheran in Hoyleton, from the church and the school, very Merry Christmas to all of you, to you and your family. God's richest blessings to you this Christmas season. And just a quick reminder as you leave this evening, yes, there are Wallenberg family Christmas cards. If you want to see how blurry those cards came out, just take one per family. I think there'd be enough if everybody just did that. And then also, we did not have a time of offering in our worship service, but there is a basket in the narthex. If you would like to place a special Christmas offering there, that's the place to do that. Our closing hymn tonight is going to be Silent Night, and just please note that the second verse is going to be sung in German, as is our tradition each year on Christmas Eve. God's blessings to all of you.
are blessed to have you join us for worship today. Please join us again next Sunday.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.